Good morning. It's me again. Hey, it's been a while. I hadn't seen you guys in a little bit. I'm so excited that I get to see you again. Yeah? All right. Here's the title of the message, But Did You Die? Right? That's like, I don't care what story you have to tell me, but did you die? And that is the only time that I'll actually say that phrase. So there you go. It's so awesome. God is awesome. So we're going to actually look in Acts, but Paul spent some time traveling through Galatia, right? And there, that little bitty red dot, that's Galatia. He was traveling through Antioch and Pisidia, which there's real small. I don't think I gave you a big one. Iconium and Lystra. And then Lystra, right? Go ahead. Lystra. There you go. Lystra, that little hill right there, there used to be a city there. That's called a tell. And Lystra is where Paul met and recruited Timothy, you know, like 1st and 2nd Timothy, that guy, he considered him his son. That's where he met him. And then someday, Timothy is going to be the leader of the church in Ephesus, which is a big deal. But we're not, I'm not telling you that story. We're going to go back when he was younger. He lived in Lystra and he was a young guy. And Paul came into town and he was able to hear and see all the things that happened to Paul. And so I want to tell you about that a little bit. when you travel across Galatia, go back one, please. Thank you. When you travel across Galatia, you know, because I know you guys have been there, it kind of looks like this. You know, a lot of grasslands and there's real small trees, a lot of them known as acacia trees. There's little trees everywhere here and there. And until you get close to Lystra, okay? So as you're traveling south from Antioch and you get to Lystra, you're going to find the next, and these are linden trees, which are not small trees, and they start showing up there in a big way. So I want to jump out of the world, real world for just a minute, okay? We live in the real world. I want to talk about a myth, Greek mythology to be exact, where we meet Poseidon, Apollo, Athena, Artemis, Hermes, Zeus, you know, he was like the god of gods, right, is what they say. And then his son was Hermes. There is a picture of Zeus and Hermes. Hermes was the messenger of the gods. And these two guys are going to be our main characters for this story. Now, it's a myth, okay? A traditional or legendary story, usually concerning some being or hero or event with or without a determinable basis of fact or a natural explanation, an imaginary or fictitious thing or person. Myth is not real. It's not real, okay? So Lystra is the city that we're going to talk about. In this myth, it's the origin of the linden tree, and it goes like this. So Zeus and Hermes, they decided they were going to come down and visit the people, and they disguised themselves. And they came down, they disguised, and they began to knock on doors. And whenever they would knock on the doors, they were just trying to see how hospitable, you know, are people nice or not? You know, knock on the doors and see what happens, right? Most of everybody, they were like, knock, knock, knock. He's like, get out of here. We don't want beggars. We don't want your bums. Get out of here. We don't want your kind around here, right? They're like, ooh, right? And so they did that. And like everybody in the area answered the door like that. And they were like, oh, that's, you know what? We're going to wipe all these little turkeys out. We're going to make that all go away. What? Let's try one more, right? So they go to this little cottage. That's why I put this little picture on here. They go to this little cottage and they knock on the door. And this woman answers the door and her husband's standing there right with them. And they recognize that these are some strangers that have come in from out of town. And they're like, hey, you guys, come on in. You know, they didn't have any idea who they were. They were just some travelers and they invited them in and they got out. And they didn't have a lot. They got out their last flour, their last oil, their last eggs. And they made the best meal that they could possibly make out of that. Sounds like a cake. I don't, maybe. And so they made the best possible meal that they could make. And so Zeus and Hermes were sitting there and they're like, man, these people are nice. We should tell them what we're going to do. And so, okay. And so they said, will you guys come outside with us? Yeah. Okay. And so they're standing outside and there's Zeus and Hermes. They're like, so all of these people, we even visited all of them. They're all inhospitable and we're going to destroy them. And so as they were standing there, you know, the cities, the houses, the people, the countryside, everything disappeared and it all turned into a swamp. This is a myth. Okay. It turned into a swamp. And so they were standing there. They're like, all the people are gone. And so they're, what are we going to do? The next part. Yeah. All that left was a swamp. The couple watched in amazement as their neighbors were all gone. And so then Zeus and Hermes, they were like, hey, man, we appreciate the way that you guys responded. And so is there anything that we can do to honor your hospitality? And they're like, well, we love each other. You know, I mean, we want to be together. I guess, can we like live together and then die together, I guess? Okay. So Zeus and Hermes left, and they lived for many more years. And then one day, the wife was looking at the husband, and she was like, oh, what? And then he was looking at her and like, what? And they noticed that leaves had started growing out of their arms and out of their heads and out of their hair. And then just within minutes, they had turned into a pair of linden trees. Okay, and that was their weird. It's a myth for sure. And that can't happen. But in the real world, these people in Lystra had heard the story and they believed that it was true. They'd heard this myth and they believed that it was true. And the gods had destroyed a community because it was inhospitable. And so I just wanted to give you a story of Lystra as we give you this story as we walk with Paul into Lystra, which was a real thing, because the Bible is not a myth. This is not a myth. This is the truth. God is awesome. Some of the stories that are in here seem impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Matthew 19:26. Oh my goodness. God can do all things. Because God is awesome and trustworthy. Since I don't want to hide anything from you, like I'm trying to tell you the truth, I don't want to hide anything from you. Paul and Barnabas, here's Antioch. You can look at the picture right there. Antioch, they were in Antioch, and they got run out of town, okay? They were just there preaching the good news. People were being changed, and they were like, the good news. The good news is the gospel of Jesus that Paul was preaching. But then in Acts chapter 13, verse 50, it says, the Jews stirred up the influential religious women and the leaders of the city, and they incited a mob against Paul and Barnabas and ran them out of town. So Paul and Barnabas, they're like, okay, it's fine. And if you read it, they're like, you know what? We're going to kick off the dirt. We're going to go somewhere else. We got plenty of gospel to preach, and we'll get out of here and do somewhere else. And so they left town, and they just kept going south. They were Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, Derbe. And so they were headed south. But then in Acts chapter 14, verses 5 and 7, which is almost where we're going to start, says, then a mob of Gentiles and Jews, yay for them, and again, it's a mob, along with their leaders, decided to attack and stone them. To stone them is to kill them with stones. When the apostles learned of it, they fled to the region of Lycaonia, to the towns of Lystra and Derbe and the surrounding area. And then verse 7, and they preached the good news. So like, mobs are coming. Okay, I'm going to preach the good news over here because I got plenty to say. So now, on our good news walk with Paul from Antioch to Lystra, we walked, it's about 100 miles, right? And so it's quite far. And so in Acts chapter 14, verses 8 through 19, I'll read those to you right now. You ready? I'll give you a second. I know you're looking it up. Acts chapter 14, verses 8. We're going to start on verse 8. All right. While they were at Lystra, Paul and Barnabas came upon a man with crippled feet. He'd been that way from birth, so he had never walked. He was sitting and listening as Paul preached. Looking straight at him, Paul realized he had faith to be healed. So Paul called to him in a loud voice, stand up! And the man jumped to his feet and started walking. Now this guy had never walked before. What? So he gets up and walking. When the crowd saw what Paul had done, they shouted in their local dialect, these men are gods in human form. They decided that Barnabas was the Greek god Zeus and that Paul was Hermes. Sounds like we were just talking about that story, wasn't it? Since he was the chief speaker. Now the temple of Zeus was located just outside the town, so the priests of the temple and the crowd brought bulls and wreaths and flowers to the town gates, and they prepared to offer sacrifices to the apostles. In verse 14, but when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard what was happening, they tore their clothing in dismay and ran out among the people shouting, "Friends, why are you doing this? We're only human beings just like you. We have come to bring you the good news that you should turn from these worthless things and turn to the living God who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. In the past, he permitted all the nations to go their own ways, but he never left them without evidence of himself and his goodness. For instance, he sends you rain and good crops and gives you food and joyful hearts." But even with these words, Paul and Barnabas could scarcely restrain the people from sacrificing to them. They knew that story about the linden trees, and they were like, "We don't want to be destroyed. That's where they were going from. They were like, I hear what you're saying, Paul and Barnabas, but we're still going to sacrifice to you because we think that you're Zeus and Hermes. Stop. We're regular people like you, dodos." He didn't say dodo. That's in the... Verse 19. Then some Jews arrived from Antioch and Iconium. Wait, what? That's like 100 miles away. Who won the crowds to their side. They stoned Paul and dragged him out of town thinking he was dead. Oh my goodness. What in the world? 100 miles away. They were so mad about him teaching this good news. They were like, ugh. Okay, the act of stoning was carefully prescribed. Okay, and so what would happen is you would walk a person to a cliff that was maybe 15 to 20 feet high. They were bound behind their back, right? And you push them off, right? And that would be how they were bound. And while they were standing there, they were given a chance to confess their sin, you know, to ask for forgiveness. And if they did, they were forgiven and then stoned. And if they weren't, if they didn't confess their sin, they were stoned, and then they just believed that God never forgave them. You just died of guilt forever and ever. And so what would happen is the two witnesses who brought the charges against whoever was being stoned would be the ones to push them over the edge. And so it's likely that, in that, you know, if you're falling 15 feet with your arms tied behind your back, a lot of people didn't make it. That was kind of the end of that. And then what would happen is everybody, I brought a little thing for you. Hold on. Okay. So then I'm looking over the edge, and what would happen is all the people who believed that whoever was guilty, they would bring a stone to the edge of the cliff and they would throw it off of there. One stone per person, right? So if it's 1,000 people, 1,000 stones, 10 people, 10 stones. If you missed, that's your fault. You know, and so as big as you wanted. Big. That would hurt if that hit you in the noggin, wouldn't it? I'm just going to put this right here so you can. Sheesh. All right. So then some of the Jews arrived from Antioch, verse 19, and Iconium, and won the crowds to their side. They stoned Paul and dragged him out of town, thinking he was dead. But as the believers gathered around him, he got up and went back into town. The next day he left with Barnabas for Derbe. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Right? This guy. I don't know if you've been around dead things, right? But if you got this cow, right? You got this dead cow, it's laying there. You can drag it. It's not breathing. It's not moving. It's not making any noise. It's doing nothing, right? Because they're really dead. Paul was dead, okay? They drug him out of town because they're like, he's dead. Here, I'll lay him there. And so the people that had heard the good news, they're gathering around him, and they're like, oh, man, what are we going to do? What? Paul, are you okay? And he starts kind of moving around and getting up. He's like, What? Paul cuts and bruises. He began to try to get up. I believe that he was smiling right there, and his whole face lit up. He's like, you know what? It's all right. They helped him get up. And I don't know if you've heard what I've been saying about what Paul does after the mob comes in and bothers him. He goes on and tells the good news some more. That's what he does. He figured, you know what? They were so receptive the first time. I'm going to go back up in there. I got a lot more God to tell them about. I'm so excited about this. Let me get up in there and go. Woo! And so he's excited, right? He was just dead. And now he's going up to tell them how God is awesome, you know? And he's like, let me tell you all about him. So the lesson to learn here, right? It's a quick message. Actually, there's a lot more. There's more, but I'm going to pretend like this is the end. So the lesson to learn here is that we should preach a lot, enough to get stoned and get killed. And then once we're dead, we should come back to life and go do it some more. Well, That's what Paul did. That's what God did to Paul. Right? It's very special. There's a circle of life that was it went broken right there, right? And God said, I'm gonna do something else. Because I got something I want to show you guys. So, oh yes, we should be caught preaching too much. We should, it says to Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth, we should be God's witnesses wherever we're going to share this good news. But when Paul came back to life, it wasn't by his power. It was only by God's power. It was his perfect power and his perfect timing. Paul was excited about sharing the good news about what God had done all throughout his writings in the New Testament. He wrote most of the New Testament. And he tells us all about what God has done. And he points us to this good news so that we should have a special relationship with God. Sadly, what he's going to do, the journey starts out with bad news. We are not good enough. We don't have enough charisma or mojo to have that special relationship with God because we've all sinned, which is enough to be banned from his presence, which is enough to be rejected by him, which is enough to be abandoned by God. That's bad. And so then you're like, wait, what? Are you saying something about me? Are you accusing me of something? Just hang on. That's not what I'm saying. Look, we can know what sin is. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. The Bible tells us what sin is. Everyone who sins is breaking God's law. Great, that's it. All we got to do is know God's laws and we know what sin is. Okay, God's laws. What? Is there laws chapter 1? Is there a place where we can read that? It's all over the place. It's all through the Bible, the things that we should do. In James chapter 2, verse 10, tells us that the person who keeps all of the laws except for one is as guilty as the person who's broken all of God's laws. That's serious. If you've broken one of God's laws one time, you're guilty of sinning against God. And so there are many more that we've broken, but I can show you one law in particular that we've broken in all of our lives that makes us guilty of this sin against God, right? Because if you've broken one, right, you've broken one. So what do we got? Is Exodus chapter 20, verse 16. You must not testify falsely against your neighbor. You know what that means? Don't tell a lie. Chandler, don't tell a lie. Okay. Have you ever told a lie? You don't, I don't need you to nod. I don't need you to answer anything because I know the answer is yes. Have you ever told a lie? Yep. That was that one sin that you needed to be considered sinning against God. That's bad news. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, that everyone has sinned. God already knew. Everyone has sinned. And we all fall short of God's glorious standard. That glorious standard is perfection, which is not us. That glorious standard is Jesus Christ, which is not us. So if we've broken God's laws and we sinned, you know, you're like, well, are there consequences? You know, maybe God's like, you know, because like on TV, they always say that God is love and he wouldn't do that. He wouldn't. The Bible says that he would, that he is a righteous judge. The consequences, the penalty, the wages of sin is death. If we sin against God, that means we're going to be assigned death, which is not just like we stop breathing, you know, and our heart stop beating, you know, not that. Everyone dies. This death is talking about an eternal separation from God, and a kind that includes eternal fear, to be afraid forever. Eternal sorrow, to be sorrow for what you did forever. Eternal torment, eternal darkness, eternal regret. I don't know. That's awful. Separated from love forever, separated from God forever, which both of those are one and the same. 1 John 4:8 tells us that God is love. We'll be separated from him forever. So the payment, the wages of sin is death, and that is bad news. That is really bad news because I don't know. Can you guys not die? Like there's some things that just happen in our lives. We can't do anything about them. This is one of those. We can't do anything. So what can we do? And I'm so glad you asked because the very end of that verse gives us the answer of what we're looking for. I'm so excited. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord, the free gift. means there's like, what? Didn't even cost anything for us. Didn't cost anything. I'm so excited about what God wants to do for us. That gift of God is being offered to you every day that you're alive, even today. If you reject the gift, right, you're like, you know, I don't want that, or you don't, you never accept it, you actually accept it, you can flush hope, love, kindness, mercy down the toilet, because that rejection or making no choice at all is enough that when you die, you'll be lost to hell. That's bad news. And so you have to accept the gift while you're here right now. And how do you do that? Romans 10, 9 and 10. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. It's by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. So easy. That's so easy. That seems so easy. God in his awesome power has done everything that that we had no ability, no power to do in our own. And he's paid a very high price. He paid the ransom for us to be saved. It turns into a free gift to us, but he paid for us to do that. So I'm going to turn this into a challenge, because I teach youth most of the time. We go pretty fast. I'm going to turn this into the challenge. This is the very end of the whole thing, right? So this is where my band, you guys can come up now. No, yes, there's one. Okay, just making sure. Okay, turning into a challenge. If you've never responded to it, let God's call on your life and your heart lead you to salvation, right? Because we have all sinned, and the price for that is eternal death, separation from God, a separation from love, eternal hell. Let God's call on your life and your heart lead you to salvation. So let's talk about it. It's the most important thing in every life, in all of our lives. Make that today. Let's talk, right? So if you don't know what salvation is, if you don't have any idea, you're like, you know what? I hear that's bad news, but I want to do something about it. Let's talk about it. Come and talk to me. Not you. Not yet. Okay. For my Christian brothers and sisters, with this perfect salvation of Christ in our hearts, we've been marked, right? This beautiful, wonderful, awesome Holy Spirit has made his home in our hearts. Ephesians chapter 3:17 says, Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. It's awesome. This covenant, this love, this God has done great things. A lot of times we get bogged down under the stuff of this earth. Sometimes we can control them. We still get under them. Sometimes there are things we can't control. They're hard things. They're way beyond what we could have imagined. And we're totally broken. David, God knows. David pours it out right here. Psalm chapter 13. Here's what he says. Oh Lord, how long will you forget me? Forever? Are you even there? How long will you look the other way? How long must I struggle with anguish in my soul, with sorrow in my heart every day? How long will my enemy have the upper hand? Turn and answer me, God. Restore the sparkle to my eyes, or I'm going to die. Don't let my enemies gloat, saying, we've defeated him. Don't let them rejoice at my downfall. And then in verses 5 and 6, right? There's only 6 verses in the psalm. Verses 5 and 6 in Psalm chapter 13. David turns it around. He's like, you know what? But, like all those things, but I trust in your unfailing love. I will rejoice because you have rescued me. I will sing to the Lord because he is good to me. When things are at their worst, what can we do? Where's your hope? Where's your trust? Psalm chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding in all your ways. Acknowledge him and he'll make your path straight. Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and live righteously, and he'll give you everything that you need. There's that answer. When we're like, God, where are you? He's just like, just keep coming. Just keep coming. Keep coming and finding me. Come on, trust me. Let's go. So this is the challenge. Will you lean into him? Will you lean into God? With all your trust, all your hope, and all your heart, 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast your cares to Christ because he cares for you, right? Even
me?
Yes, you. He knows your troubles, your despair, your brokenness. He knows your heart, and he still cares. So there you go. There's the challenge. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, it's time to figure it out. If you do, you've already experienced that, lean to him with all your trust, all your hope, and all your heart. We're going to hit hard spots. He's still right there. This weekend, we were in Carthage, and we were driving around, and then there's a statue of Jesus carrying a dude. It's that footprints poem, I guess, where it's like, God, I only saw one set of footprints. And I'm like, yeah, they were mine. I was carrying you, dude. Because cast your cares to Christ because he cares for you. And so it's important. It's a hope that we can have. Okay. We didn't know how to finish. We talked about it. I don't know. I'm all done. I'm going to pray for us. And we're going to sing. God's awesome. Holy God, you are awesome. You are full of wonder, full of awesomeness, full of grace and mercy, kindness, love. God, you know that list goes on and on and on and on, that you are that fantastic, that you've been so wonderful to reveal yourself in such a way that we can know you personally. God, those that are here that may not know you at all, may not have that relationship with you, may have been rejecting that gift or just like, yeah, I don't care about messing with that. God, let them realize that without you, there's no hope because you're the one. You're fantastic, lovely, wonderful. Man, I love you. Thank you for loving us. I think we're going to sing about that now. God, I love you. In Jesus' name, amen. So you guys can stand with us.